Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss Rogue One, a movie that came out in 2016, almost 10 years
Dan,
ago.
Dan,
it's a complicated profession.
Okay, don't think of it as a movie. Think of it as season 3 to Andor.
Like Babylon 5 had like 7 movies made for TV? I only ever saw the movies, never the TV show.
We're getting off track.
You only saw the movies to Babylon 5?
It made no sense when I watched it.
Why did you keep watching them? Danny hasn't even had time to introduce us yet.
I'm thinking that. All right.
Usually we let him introduce us before interrupting.
Ooh, can I introduce you and introduce me?
Yeah.
What I haven't even introduced myself.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to introduce Dan?
I am the co-host, Kat Benish, and I'm excited to be here. I'm a little sad, though. I actually think I like Andor less now, having just finished Andor. And I'm joined by my fellow co-host and chief derailer, Tony Sindelar. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Kat. It's fun to finally be on a podcast together.
I agree. And our third host, who may be a co-host, is also Dan Morin. Hey, Dan.
Hi. It's good to be here as well. Thanks for having me, guys.
So we've staged a coup, and we're here talking about... What was that look, Tony?
The best move about having somebody stage a coup is when they stage a coup from the person who does all the work, and that person's like, yes, please stage this coup. I'm just going to sit back.
Although I don't know what this thing is. I make funny looks, and Kat criticizes me for them on our audio podcast. As always.
Let's get back to Babylon 5.
Disparaging looks I want. There's already a Babylon 5 podcast.
So really?
You know,
Who did the Babylon 5 podcast?
Chip Sutterth did it. It's covered because Babylon 5 has been done for, 25 years.
So did they do it episode by episode?
Oh, yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. Wow. So, I think it could be a really good show. I've tried watching it. I just couldn't get into it.
Well, what if we just listened to the podcast about it, and then we did a podcast based on that?
Oh, there we go. Is Chip a good podcaster? Would I enjoy it?
Probably.
this is going to be on a podcast. I'm not taking this out.
Do you think?
I hope Chip is not listening. Sorry, Chip.
No, Chip is great.
Chip is wonderful.
I hope Chip never listens to this. He's got a great voice. He's one of those people who people assume he's Canadian because he's very polite. He's from North Carolina, which is not technically in Canada, I think.
Not yet. Well, Canada's not yet in North Carolina is probably the better way to phrase that.
Yeah. Wow. breaking news, this is being recorded today in 2025. But we're here to talk about a movie from 2016, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
What else came out in 2016?
I don't know, but Dan will Google that now and be frustrated about it.
The issue is, I'm going to call your bluff as like, Dan, I don't really care what we talk about. I'm just excited to talk to you about Star Wars. We'll just see what the conversation goes.
I can tell you this. I remember exactly where we were when we saw Rogue One.
Oh, we were in India. We saw it in India.
Oh, okay.
Was this the one with the intermission?
All movies had intermissions.
We literally I think we ordered also hot cocoa to our seats for
this.
We
did.
I want to be clear here. I was prepared to be incredibly disappointed. I was like, yeah, in a movie theater, the same as me, jerks. That's like, how is this going to be a good story? And, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we were in Mumbai.
Yeah,
I think over by BKC, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, would it have had
a horrible dinner beforehand.
That I don't remember.
You remember dinners that far back?
Well, this was actually really funny. It was either this. We went to the movie theater twice. It was once to see this, and then once to see the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And we may have seen this in Bangalore, but I don't remember. Anyways, so one of the dinners I had, this is funny, right?
Now I do remember.
I am a big believer in comment cards. I think people would like and appreciate thoughtful criticism that's been delivered anonymously. So when we went to pay the check, there's a comment card.
Never use the internet.
Do you not know anything about people?
No, so I wrote a comment I was not happy with my sandwich, and here's why. I still paid for it. It was fine. I don't want to talk to anyone. But before they let us leave, the chef came over and had to talk to me about the lunch dinner, and I was like, this is why I filled out the comment card. I didn't say anything during the meal exactly for this purpose. I don't want to confront you in person and say why your food was not good.
Mm.
And
I think it's important to note for the purposes of the audience, Dan is slightly under the weather today, and I think that Kat and I are not helping.
You're taking advantage of this fact is what you're doing.
Circle back to your question of other movies from 2016, according to the internet, other movies from 2016 you might remember include Hail Caesar. That's a movie I saw.
I enjoyed that. That was
a good movie.
That was good.
Movie of the year.
That was good.
Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Didn't see a movie.
I've seen, but definitely not.
I was going to say, they continued making Resident Evil movies, though, right?
That one is called The Final Chapter.
I thought there was more after that.
I think they've rebooted it after
that.
I think that's the last one.
The final, definitely final V2 edit.
Well, it's the one with, you know, I was going to say 2016 has some real ups and downs. Star Trek Beyond.
Which one was that, Star Trek?
That's the last one that came out.
The last of the... Yeah,
last of the Chris Pine ones.
What did they do, though?
It's not a great movie.
No.
Idris Elba's in it, and there's wasted under a lot of prosthetic makeup.
You don't get to see him.
Yeah. Yo,
guys, what Spoiler. If we put Idris Elba and he was like not charismatic or and you can't see his face and the role he's been given is not great either? Also, some really bad movies. Now You See Me 2. I have not seen that.
I hate the first one of those.
Really?
Yeah, the first one is
it was
not
good.
No, people argue
you
that.
You're mistaken.
And I'm very upset. And in fact,
Why are they now doing it?
A third one. There's a trailer out for the third one.
I've seen the trailer. I'm excited.
No.
I like Now You See Me. What's wrong with it? I never know. Are they actually doing magic or isn't that magic?
No, that's the problem.
I love it.
That makes me angry.
People who like magic don't like it. Because it's all special effects, and so it's like,
well, no, I kind of like, is there actually magic in that world? I can't remember or not.
No,
but there is, but Dan, there's there is illusion. Like holograms, and
yes,
and yes, so there
okay,
is,
okay,
there
what's
is,
his name
there
was a hologram with
the
Wolf Blitzer, so there are holograms in the real life,
okay, but there's like a thing, yeah, okay, not like that.
Oh my god.
Is this podcast now
2008
about...
when Barack Obama won the election, who was the hologram again?
We're moving on.
No. Who is the hologram?
Who was the hologram?
Dan, if we don't answer this for her,
I'm not sure which one we're talking about.
It's going to kill her.
Was it Will I Am? No. Is that a person?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God. Is there a point where Tupac was a hologram at some point, right?
Who was the hologram?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who was the hologram?
Who was the hologram? She's over here frantically Googling. That
Will.i.am was interviewed on CNN via hologram. So
okay, I'm gonna bring it back around. Yeah. You know who else is famously a hologram?
Luke Skywalker.
I was gonna go with Princess Leia.
We're gonna bring it back
to the movie. We are here.
You know what else came out in 2016?
It was Will.i.am.
That was a good movie.
I was right.
Yeah,
thank you.
He just said that 30 seconds ago.
I was googling because you guys weren't quick enough to answer. Do you not remember that landslide moment?
For what? For Will I Am?
Yes, it was the first time I had a hologram on CNN.
Notably, not the first time there was a hologram.
Yeah.
The
Are
first
we
time
release
it was on
this
CNN.
Episode?
I'm strongly reconsidering.
Okay.
I'm thinking about just dropping an edit in here and then doing. And we're here to discuss Rogue One and Star Wars Story.
All right, so let's take it back. What are we talking about?
Anyways, we are here to discuss Rogue One, a Star Wars Story, because it is essentially the continuation of Andor, which we recently concluded. How should we do this? I'm walking through the plot of Rogue One seems unnecessary because,
if you haven't seen it now, like,
yeah,
it's,
like,
it's
you've
your
all
fault.
Seen it.
It's on you.
You've all seen it. But we've rewatched it.
For you.
And I think it's interesting to view it in light of Andor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some. It presents some interesting challenges because, by necessity, Andor is like two seasons of a TV show. You can't really do an arc of a TV show and then be like, and it ends unsatisfyingly, right? Like it's just like
good save.
Yeah, I definitely screwed up that word.
Unsatisfactory.
Unsatisfyingly. Like, it's not. You can't have it end in a way where you're like, and your character, you know, who knows what happens to them. Like, it's. We know, because we've seen the movie before this, because it is a prequel, but I think the challenge is we see Cassian's evolution through that entire two seasons.
Yeah.
We learn about him becoming, you know, going from being this scrapper to being a soldier, you know, maybe a little for hire, and then he gets into the rebellion and is like how he codifies his beliefs and all of this, so that by the end, when he suffered through all these terrible losses, but he also believes in the rebellion, he goes out and he's gonna be a hero. And then the first thing he does in the movie is murders a dude in cold blood. And
cold blood, lukewarm blood.
I agree with you. I think, like, and to break this down, right, if we're not gonna go through the plot, and I don't think we should go through the whole plot, But like, I think there's.
We should definitely agree that we're not going to do that. And then about 20 minutes later,
we'll go through it. Yeah, fine.
That'll really
fine.
Pad out the
or
episode.
Or we'll go backwards. Anyway, Dan will fix us all in post.
Dan does not do that level of editing. It's really important that we all understand that.
There are a couple issues with this. I think one is, I think there's just mechanical, the plot. If we think about the like transition of the plot of the end of Andor into the plot of this, it doesn't quite work. And there's a couple plot holes, actually. You're like, why do they need the pilot to repeat what they just learned from Kleya? Like, it diminishes Kleya. That's one issue, but I can look beyond that.
The answer is she wasn't invented 9 years ago.
Or she's a woman. It's fine. We know it's the Star Wars universe. Two is Andor's, the character, there is some tonal stuff there, I think, like that, but more of like, in the part that's like, one is, if that can make sense, because one is the fact that Andor, it's weird because Rogue One is from the perspective of Jyn, and so it's very jarring to go to then suddenly switching, like seeing Andor not being the main character and not like basically seeing what he's thinking. And then the other part of that is, if we do believe Andor's progression, that he actually is coming around, that he's a thoughtful, that he's this rogue, he's this guy, it actually diminishes Jyn's character, because the audience, the only way I can perceive Jyn is the one saying like hope and all this, is that she actually comes off incredibly naive. And I don't know if I'm describing well. In my mind, I was watching, it was like, well, I believe Andor's no characters, and if Andor's the one I trust, then like Jyn is diminished. And then the final thing is like the whole thing of Jyn rallying the rebellion, that sat well.
It's weird in context of
I love this movie originally, and I think now, having gone through Andor, Dan's always pointed out there's a lot of flaws in Rogue One, and now it's hard for me not to see those flaws.
It's a messy movie. It is a messy movie. It is tricky. I remember it coming out and being very excited to see it, and I remember enjoying it. It is definitely a messy movie. You can see, like, you know, I feel like it's rare that I'm just like, is this a movie that involved reshoots? But like, this movie and that really bad Fantastic Four movies are like the examples of like,
they're all bad Fantastic Fours.
People. Well, one of them is really bad.
Which one?
The most recent one that is terrible. It is actually interestingly how bad it is. Every time you check how long is left in the movie, and you will check often because it's that kind of movie, there is an hour and 35 minutes left, and it does not seem possible. It is interesting. Like, there is like a thing where like the movie ends and there's still like 40 more minutes. It's wild. It's amazing to me that it got released. But that is not Rogue One. But Rogue One does have these weird bits where it's like, you can tell that stuff was kind of like rejiggered in ways, and that maybe they didn't know quite what they want to do. I mean, it's interesting to compare the two, especially coming just off of watching Andor, because we love the Andor show so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Andor show had things to say that aren't actually, like, Rogue One doesn't really have that. Rogue One doesn't have a message. The message of Rogue One is like it tries hard.
Yeah,
it's like there's little bits, and like that's, and like we see the characters, and some of them are characters that, I mean, we meet Andor in Rogue One for the first time, and we spend time with the adult Saw Gerrera for the first time, and things like that. So we get those little hints. But you know, this is like the length of two episodes of Andor, maybe two and a half, right?
Yeah. It realizes how fast the pacing is,
and it's
so
got
quick.
Giant action set pieces, where you are not going to learn anything about the character, and it's going to introduce a bunch of other characters that, you know, this has a bunch of great Star Wars characters in it. But this doesn't have a thing to say, right?
It wants to be about hope. It wants to be about setting up the, you know, like recontextualizing the original, you know, Star Wars from 1977. And in the same way, it's weird, right? Because Andor then recontextualizes this recontextualization. Yes. Like, and to the point I was trying to make earlier about his character arc, so much of Rogue One is predicated on the fact that it's like he's this hard-bitten, like very practical, you know, spy who's, you know, not objecting to murdering his source when it's just, I can't help you. You're a liability. And we're supposed to believe over the course of the movie that like he comes around to Jyn's way of thinking, but Jyn's philosophy is essentially the philosophy we've seen him embrace for two seasons of TV, and it's like, well, you're already there, buddy. Like,
you know, I think about, so we've talked about one of the first things he's on, whatever, the rings of
Kafreen,
and he you know has a meeting in an not enough off of a main alley with his contact, because there are stormtroopers around and he has to kill him to get away. And then later he's like given, like, again, the Rebel Alliance confusing bureaucratic structure, where it's like a meeting where he's told to go and get Jyn Erso, and then it's like, but actually kill him. And it's like, are you authorized to give that order, General Draven? Slash, you know,
also that guy
establishing that Andor is a guy who takes assassins. Like, that doesn't really line up with the General Draven that we know.
Yeah, also, yeah. He didn't like him like 30 minutes ago when he left.
Yes.
He was really ticked off at Cassian.
Yeah.
And now he's like, ah, but you're my best soldier. And he's like, wait, he just kept leaving and not telling you. Like,
yeah.
And it was, I think, building on it too, when they have that entire council scene of like, now everyone's in that room. And they did a great job of like the set design and the visually flow through of like, but you just heard Clea tell you this. You're now hearing from Jyn as well.
Yeah.
You heard it from the pilot. Like, how many times in you can't make this decision?
Mon Mothma seems to be in much better spirits. She had like a really good night's sleep.
Yeah.
She woke up the next day.
I appreciate.
And was like, I'm in all the way this time, guys.
Yeah, it is fascinating to look at it and watch at what Tony Gilroy drew out of that, and like, what are the things I'm interested in exploring that we don't.
And we do
get
have to remember, Tony Gilroy wrote this. He didn't direct it.
He basically did the reshoots.
Yeah,
he put it back together.
I think he came at the end, because in my mind, I think Tony Gilroy made Andor, the TV show, to lead up to the Rogue One he wanted to make.
Okay.
But because, I don't know a lot of the history here, but like, if it was just the reshoots and trying to fix it together, he did the best job he could.
He talks about that a bit.
But what we see in Rogue One isn't actually, I think, the Rogue One he was. Like, of all the movies to be remade, other than remaking the prequel series, like, I wish we could almost go back. I feel it is so close to being so good if just he had been allowed to start with it too.
Yeah. I mean, so it was directed by Gareth Edwards. Famously, they had some, you know, problems with some of the shoot, and I believe
as it's traditional for Star Wars movies
these days. You know, Tony Gilroy talks about going in and essentially being like, I think he refers to it at one point as like, it's like being brought in and being told there's a corpse on the table and you have to basically bring it back to life. And, you know, that's very different from being able to create your own vision with a TV show. And even there, you know, we talked about he pulled it back from like 5 seasons, like an original plan of like 5 seasons and 60 episodes to 2 seasons. And so, yeah, I can see it. Like, I think he saw the potential, as Kat was saying, he saw the potential in this movie that he was working on and had written, and just wanted to find a way to sort of tease out some of the themes that he do get touched on, right? Like, we talk about things like, you know, the messiness of the rebellion is kind of a through line. Saw being, you know, very different from, you know, the rebels on Yavin, who have a very different approach, and what's the difference between a rebellion that is sort of down and dirty and needs to, you know, take no prisoners versus trying to inspire hope in people. Like,
there is, again, seeing those seeds, there's the scene where, you know, Jyn is basically like, we gotta go do this, everybody, and they're like, not gonna happen, Jyn or so.
Yeah,
and
then
she's like,
you?
Yeah, and then they go to the hangar, and there's like, I don't know, a dozen of them. They're like, we're with you, and it's like, I don't understand how. But you know, and I think Andor has a line about like, oh, we're assassins and saboteurs and whatever. And I was like, okay, there's I see, like, and we would love to have a 5-season television show just about us.
Yes.
And what got us to this moment.
We are the part of the rebellion that will get our hands dirty, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was like, they're not going to notice if you guys leave. There's like a lot of you.
Yeah, they like, did another test flight plan.
Had to take one ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, how quickly the team scrambles at the end. It just, I don't know. I this is a little bit of a never meet your heroes. Like, this has always been my
never make a TV show that's much, much better than your movie.
Favorite movie, and then go back and watch your favorite movie and be like, oh, man.
Yeah, I also want to correct myself. So originally, so first of all, this idea, the idea for Rogue One was pitched by John Knoll,
who is
one of the visual effects supervisors, going back to, he worked on the original. Original Star Wars trilogy.
He's old school.
He also created Photoshop.
He's ILM.
Oh, that guy.
I think he's ILM before it was ILM.
He was a visual effects supervisor on all the prequels, and he pitched this, like, you know, as an idea way back in, like, during Episode 3 production. And it got, eventually, they announced Gareth Edwards as a director, and then Gary Whitta was the original screenwriter. He got, I think, replaced. Simon Kinberg was considered, and then Chris Weitz, who also did a bunch of other, he's a well-known writer and director, was brought in. Gilroy, I don't think, got his writing credit until he was brought in to do the reshoots. So, because he That's wrote confusing. Additional scenes and basically mm-hmm. worked as a
Do
second unit director.
Do we know what scenes he wrote?
It's unclear. You know, it's tough with movies.
I know, yeah, and like I know the Darth Vader scene is like a big scene that was added later, which is like, you know, I mean, I remember being excited yeah. for that scene. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I see it now, I was like, ah, yeah, I don't need this.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, yeah, I'm familiar with his work.
Well, at that point, we hadn't seen Darth Vader
yes,
in a long time,
in a long
between
time.
Rebels
so that was
and then the Obi-Wan show. Yeah, and then yeah. I think it also, that at the time, I agree, that was very exciting in the moment, but years later now with everything in between, there's the question of like, wait, why is Leia Organa in a war zone?
Yeah.
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 And yeah. why does Tarkin look like Dobby the house elf? No, because I don't like the CGI. We've talked before. I don't like the CGI. It drives me crazy.
I feel like I can't judge it because I know that he's dead. And so it's just distracting to me because it's like, I know that's not Peter Cushing. And I don't know. Like, it's one of those, like, if I didn't know that, would I be fooled by it?
No.
I can't tell you because I don't know.
You would absolutely not be fooled. It's so obvious.
I find it a little glaring, but I also know that there are people for whom it is not. People did not know.
Well, those people are wrong.
How do you feel about the young Leia?
She was better because she's on the screen less time. But like,
The Tarkin, I feel like a little bit. They think they're showing off.
Because they do this brilliant moment where they show him in reflection. You see his reflection in the glass of the window, and you're like, all right, you can kind of get away with that. And then he like turns towards the camera and you're like, all right, guys.
More than one scene.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. It's repeated. Like that's one they should have recast. Like the Leia, I could forgive because it's a one-off, but a repeated scene that it's a character that is a role.
I don't think the Leia one would have bothered me as much had the Tarkin one not already been in there. And the Leia one, it always looks mislit to me. Like she looks very pale. And
it's weird. I mean, some of the Leia imagery and
sure.
Can we?
And episode four has weird lighting.
Yep,
and weird
agreed.
Effects.
Some of the things I'll say that I did really like about Rogue One that worked, I think, very well is I actually think the Krennic storyline was delightful and I think really emphasized and improved by Rogue One because because otherwise, like, I liked him. He was a good character, but it wasn't really showing the attachment and the history there. But to literally go from just a second beforehand of you had Dedra fail with the information leak. You had your good friend Anton Lesser, who is Pendergast, fail, and then to have you fail, which is great.
He's having a really bad.
And I think there's a leak that's attributed to him, and it just like that was excellent.
All of his
just like that all build up on each other.
Yeah.
He's traveling constantly.
Yeah.
How many planets is he on? And he's not a spy.
My only issue with him is that his coat needed to be ironed more. I did not appreciate the wrinkles in it.
I was going to say, I think what I like about him in this movie is also that he's been set up in Andor. He is the guy that everybody is afraid of in Andor.
Yes.
Right? He's the Tarkin, right? He's the one that everyone's like, oh God, please don't. I don't want to deal with this guy. I don't want to deal with this guy. He's a little scary. And he's just very serious and all this stuff.
You know that cape is not regulation. Like,
yeah.
He designed his own cape.
But then he has to deal with Tarkin and Vader. And he's like, there's always a bigger fish.
Yeah,
that's right.
I know.
And that
I don't understand in the movie why he goes to have that meeting with Darth
and
Vader.
So it's a little unclear, but
they say he's summoned.
He was summoned by Vader.
Yes.
Okay. Because that could have been a phone call.
That's also, it's much better than that to be like, I'm just going to drop in on Darth Vader.
Hi, Mustafar calling.
I'm really upset with Tarkin. Could you do something about that?
At the end, I can't remember because like you were joking along that scene. Does Krennic say, but that wasn't a no, or was that like you, Matt, ad-libbing at the
side? No, I think that was me ad-libbing.
Okay, I can remember. Realigner, Dan goofing off. Yeah, so I thought Krennic's storyline is enhanced. So I think, I think Jyn and Andor actually are lessened in some ways in Rogue One with the story. I think the Rebellion seemed even more clueless, but I do think Krennic and the Empire is definitely enhanced by the story that's been told there.
I had forgotten that Krennic is like there chasing down Jyn at the end of the movie. Because that feels kind of cartoonish to me.
Oh, right? Very Indiana Jones.
Well, like he's in the control room and then he's at the top of the tower. And it's like, you don't learn to delegate, dude. Like, you got a lot of people that work
I think we've seen his delegation failing, though.
I was like, don't be on top of that tower. You're going to die there.
I also really enjoyed the K2SO lines. I thought were also...
K2SO is a much better player here than in... I think he works fine in that last segment, but...
Very funny.
There's the frustrating thing where we see other K2SO droids that do not need to get hit by a car to take them down.
One of them gets shot with a gun.
A gun.
Oh, that's right.
Again, you know, it's minor things. I thought there were people that are mad that... you know, when they all get captured by Saw Gerrera and Andor has a line of like, this is new to me.
It's OPSEC.
Like,
he it's was OPSEC. In prison.
Well, also, it's like, there's a difference between I was thrown in Imperial prison and like, I'm in a cave run by in a terrorist jail. Like, those are different. You're allowed to be like, this is a new experience.
There's things about this that struck me as weird the first time around. I don't care for the weird mind reading creature is.
No,
I think that's a bizarre.
That's a we need a Star Wars monster in here to check.
And I don't like the way that they mess. Like, I really like Riz Ahmed in this.
Yes.
I think he's very good. I don't like that scene because it just the beats on it are just weird when he loses memory.
Yeah, loses memory, but it comes back.
Yeah.
He's basically messy. like drunk for 20 minutes of the movie, and then it'll be better.
And it's unclear. It's really necessary. Also, I will say I'd forgotten about this, but Donnie Yen and his counterparts are still my favorite part of the whole.
Yeah, those characters are frankly great and kind of overshadow a lot of the rest of this movie. But they also have the similar problem of seeming like maybe they're in a different movie. It's unclear at times.
He's literally lifted from the Hong Kong action movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've dropped him in here. And it's like, okay, that's great. But like, there's later scenes where he's just like sitting in the ship. And I was like, you don't know what to do with this guy right now where there's no one for him to fight.
Well, because
he's not going to talk about his feelings. Is he part of the resistance now?
Why are they here? Right? Like, it's like the guardians of the wills and they're dragged into this. And then all of a sudden they're like,
who was just a pilot. Yeah. And now he's like, he has like a few lines where he talks about Galen Erso in like a reverential way, and it's like, what was your relationship?
Did you guys play like holochess or what was the
talk about politics constantly? But you were just a pilot at his secure. It's weird, and it's you know, this is a movie with a lot of characters, and probably too many. I had forgotten that Melshi was in this movie.
Melshi, that's where he's
referenced. Yeah. And apparently, for example, I was looking at screenshots of where is Melshi in this movie. Like, Melshi's in the group that busts Jin out of the transport.
The very beginning.
I totally didn't recognize him because he's wearing a hat. And when he's wearing a hat, he gets hit in the face. Everybody else.
Jin hits him in the face in like the first scene. And then,
Generic rebel hat.
And then K2SO
like every other guy.
Grabs her. And as Kat pointed out, K2SO was not. He went with Cassian.
So Cassian must be with them too.
Yeah, like there's a weird, slight disconnect there.
And also, why are R2-D2 and C-3PO there?
That made me more angry this time.
Because they're with Bail Organa.
Okay.
But that's not his,
I did have to stop. I was
but
like,
he
wait
leaves
so
at
they
one
were there.
Point.
And then came back, and they never mentioned. Yeah.
There's something
Yavin
weird
earlier.
That doesn't quite work there.
Well, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, you're going to be on the ship later. This is before you're on the ship. So you've been to Yavin twice? It feels like you don't know.
People, yeah, that's a security
people
problem.
Should not be, people should not be coming and going from Yavin this much.
And
especially droids.
I also think there's an issue here, too, where we watch Andor, and I think Tony Gilroy does very nice. We talked about this, like, they go slow to go fast storytelling.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if we are penalizing Rogue One both for occasionally being a little sloppy and also being the first movie that we had seen, really, Star Wars movie, after watching Andor. So, like, those, had we watched, I think, any movie after watching Andor, be like, oh,
we've been
why isn't this more Andor, what's wrong with you guys?
It's tricky too because it is cut from very similar cloth, if not the same cloth, so like it has so many recognizable elements of it. It's kind of like when somebody takes they switch showrunners or something in a show or do a sequel to a movie and it's a different director. You're like, this is kind of supposed to be the same.
It's like when they wrote Night Squadron after Rogue Squadron. It took me a while to warm up to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that's great about this movie. It's a good, it's a great looking movie.
Yes. Like,
I think that's one of the best parts about it is that
it's the Maldives. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, the Maldives, yeah, Scarif and the Maldives is great. Jeddah, I think, is a fantastic set. That whole city is great. You know, the character design for a lot of these characters is really good. And in general, I like all the characters. I mean, like, Diego Luna is great. I mean, there's a reason you based the entire series around him, because he's very good. And I would not have, looking at this role, it feels, again, I think some of the problem we're struggling with is, like, in this movie, that role feels almost two-dimensional.
Well, yeah, he's
by
actually,
comparison.
He's a much, I think it's probably better script and more time. Like, he, I think, has also grown as an actor. Versus this, the acting was not nearly as good as an Andor for Diego.
Well, he's, again, it's what you're given to do. And there's not as much, he's not in the movie as much, and he doesn't have as much of a, he's a side character, right? Yeah. Like, that's fundamentally, he is a supporting character in this movie.
But yeah, I think he probably has more dialogue than Jin. And like, I was telling you guys, like, I was trying to research, and maybe I was the only one who, like, why are there no women on Scarif? Apparently there are two in the background somewhere hidden away. And then someone was saying that on the editing, they actually cut a lot of the lines from Jin, but we can probably look this up, but I'm willing to bet that Diego Luna has more speaking role than Jin. Like, I think this movie is much more about Cassian than it was about Jin. And Dan's going to Google it right now for speaking roles, like probably lines or words or minutes between Jin and Cassian. And I'm pretty sure that I'm right, and I'm willing to put money on it. Tony, how much you want to bet?
I don't know that I'm going to be able to give you a good answer.
I don't bet with Kat anymore because of past history.
I lose all my bets.
I can tell you, I found a link that says only 17% of Rogue One dialogue is spoken by a female character.
Yeah, I think it's actually one of the worst.
Despite having a female lead.
And
quote-unquote
prominently lead. Featured in promotional materials too, right? And it's, her face is giant on the poster. And then there's some other guys. Yeah, I mean... You know, it's. I think it's that tricky thing again, where it's like this was almost 10 years ago, and we are in a weird place in terms of what Star Wars was made after this. And it's almost like this did a lot of things that kind of, and you know, that was a very kind of weird experimental time with Star Wars. We only made movies effectively back then, and we were about to, I guess, fail with Solo by whatever. You know, criteria for not making $1 zillion that we use for judging movies. But you know, this was a movie that kind of doesn't have a Jedi in it. We've got Jedi-esque characters, so to like make you not too worried. There's no one, you know, there's not a major Skywalker in it, unless you count Leia's cameo at the end
or Darth Vader.
He doesn't count anymore, Dan. He's Darth Vader now.
My bad.
I think according to the AI overview,
The AI overview, but I wasn't willing to trust it.
It says Mashable says that roughly. Sorry to completely cut you off, Tony. But yeah, Rogue One had fewer female characters than any other top 10 U.S. box office hit of 2016, and 17% of the leg. And Cassian has more words than Jin.
Yeah, the AI overview on Google suggested that Jin Erso has significantly more lines than Diego Luna's character. But I don't know what it's based in.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyways.
I mean, I'm willing to believe that. I mean, there are a lot of characters in this, and you know, and Mon Mothma has very few lines in the actual movie, right? Isn't this one of those things where there were like lines in a
trailer
that people were very excited about that are not actually in the movie?
Yeah.
It
is a very influential movie. I think that you can say that too about it, right? Like it clearly set a tone for things. It paved the way for stuff. It was very successful, I think, overall. But it is a movie that I can never quite reconcile the fact that it is clumsy and messy at many points, and they're trying to sort of paste some stuff together that doesn't always make sense upon stepping back and trying to view it. But I think it's overall, it's still a worthwhile movie. I like a lot of what it does.
I mean, I can only assume if Tony Gilroy was making Rogue One today, he would make a different movie.
Yes, I assume so.
In part just to iron out some of the continuity stuff, but also like, I mean, yeah, you know, the space monster that wipes people's brains that Saw Gerrera keeps in his house for some reason.
I need a pet.
You would cut that. It's still working on that. Damn good. Keep it up.
Thank you.
We'll get you there. You know, R2-D2 and C-3PO, they don't need to be in this movie.
No.
That is the most crass of all. Like, I'm sure I enjoyed it at the time.
Wait for it. Dr. Evans ass as Impondababa?
Yes,
do they
forgot
need to
about
be in that,
that
movie?
Yes.
No, they don't. Do you even
I like Jedha. That was great.
No, they don't need to be in that
movie. I thought that was great.
You know what?
Then I wonder, like, why are they going to be Tatooine?
You know what,
like,
cameos work in that movie?
I hope they leave in the next 8 hours.
Yeah, right?
So
The cameos that work in that movie are Hera is paged on, yes, like, the PA.
That's nice.
Chopper is, I believe, in the bay at one point, in the background, and the ghost is visible overhead.
And, like,
but none of them are drawn attention to.
You don't see the ghost during the battle.
Yeah.
I think it is in the battle. So, like, I'm okay with all those things. Like, they're there if you're looking for them, but it's not like camera cuts to.
You don't feel the director elbowing you in the ribs and be like, get it?
I feel like it's a Star Wars.
It's Chappie.
It was cute. It was cute. Yeah. I enjoyed it more than R2-D2 and like C-3PO.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All those are fine.
The number of them.
No.
Yeah. Pick one.
No.
You get one.
Wizard.
Okay. That's not how you use wizard.
Chopper's just in the background in the hangar.
Committing
that's
murder.
It.
Yeah. I was like, is he murdering anyone?
I like somebody pointing out. Was it somebody sent to us the K2SO and
that
Chopper?
That was me sending that to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone in your house, Dan?
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of links get thrown.
I sent an Instagram of the two of you saying that we realized that K2SO and...
Chopper on Yavin at the same time.
Committing mass murder together.
I think, you know, I mean, it's basically a question of what percentage of droids are war criminals. Because, you know, based on speaking roles, it's
not all droids, Tony.
No, not all droids, but like, seems like not an insignificant number.
I mean, I'll put it this way. If they were as oppressed as the droids there, with people treating them as objects instead of sentient beings, maybe they're justified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say, and the, switching a little gears, I think the thing that I was most disappointed in Rogue One is actually Saw Gerrera's demise. Because it does
there
feel
is
like...
the thing where he's like, nah.
After all
I'm
that,
good.
Like,
I'm
we,
good.
We And I realized that when the movie came out, what material did we have? We had had, maybe a little bit of Clone Wars?
That's it.
But then we had all of Rebels. We had all of Andor. We've had several... What's he in? What else was he in?
He's in multiple
videos. He's in
video games. Yeah.
Like, he is built up. And at the very end, he's like, nah, done running. I'm going to stay here with my Rido. Peace.
Yeah. It really makes no sense.
It's so weird.
It makes no sense given the context of that character. All the way through, all he's doing is wants to fight everybody and everything. And then one day he's like, I don't know, that's a big laser.
we're going. You can come with us.
So I feel like there's a story to tell beforehand that explains why he's finally ready to stop running. Like, that's the story. I mean, I don't want that story, but that's
Saw
Gerrera,
a Star Wars story.
Or like, you know, again, maybe if Tony Gerrera was making it today and he's like, well, I'm not going to undo his death, but he'll have like a speech about how I can never go to Yavin.
Yeah.
That will be, you know, even if I could get there, I'd never be there. They won't accept me. Dan, can you do these lines? But
even if I were to go to Yavin.
That was a little off. I also want the Saw Gerrera Star Wars cut, which is just only all the Saw Gerrera scenes stitched together in one, so we can get the
in
full
chronological order.
Otherwise, that's weird. What order would you do?
Well,
with
the
here?
Order that he appeared in real life.
That would be so stupid.
Yeah, Dan, that's bad idea. You should apologize.
There are no bad ideas except for that one.
Well, that one's not great.
I love you, Dan.
Yeah, Kat, there's a. I was, you know, it's one of those when a Star Wars character makes a cameo. I was surprised he appears in one of the video games that takes place, I guess, between.
After the Clone Wars, but before.
Like, your
the
character
rebellion,
is
basically.
Like driving. I forget if it's
an
AT-AT.
Yeah,
yeah, or it was like some giant weapon,
He's holograms
he, like,
in.
He like no like, no. Well, he's there. Oh, he's like he on there. Your view screen.
That's right.
He's like, hey, and it's like you were driving a car and he appeared like on your hood. It was like, hey, what
see,
a
this is why I was talking about holograms at the start of this episode.
That's why now he can't edit that out.
No, that was a really good intro. You should keep it all.
I don't think so.
You're not going to keep
it. I don't. You know what? Probably I will because I'm lazy.
It makes it seem like real people and it makes people think that this is unscripted.
Oh my God,
line.
If people thought this was scripted, are our writers high?
I'd be concerned. I would write a letter.
Anything else?
I think the last thing I'll say is, I think you pointed this out to Dan as I watched, or maybe I read afterwards, of the, do you want to talk about the Andor's, so final thing on the like Andor's death. Two things. One, this also recontextualizes.
See, words aren't easy.
Words are not. I never said they're easy. I'm still going to make fun of you for it, though. The recontextualizes astrogation. The relationship between Jyn and Cassian, because when I had seen Rogue One, I had read romance between those two. I had just read romance, like it's a romantic tension.
I heard people were complaining about, like your, I guess, Bix left him how long ago in
a year,
in real time? A year, okay. And they're like, and I guess he doesn't know he has a secret kid. But like, they just have like kind of an embrace, right? Like,
they're about to die.
They're about to die.
That's fine.
Like,
I'm just saying
it's relatively platonic.
But I thought I read it when I saw the movie. I read it as more than platonic, and now like watching is like, I guess maybe it's not, but it's like it's a pretty strong platonic there. But Dan was also pointing, or someone was pointing, like when the scene where Cassian's looking in the same direction that like Bix's and the other,
look the opposite, their sight lines I think meet,
match,
you know, so there's a kind of a nice shot there in terms of where she's looking off to the future, probably around the same time as he's giving it all up.
It is rude that they fire, I guess they do this both time with the lasers. Rough luck that they were on two planets, the first two planets that get hit by the Death Star, and you know, the first time they're not in the city, so it's okay, but on Scarif he misses the base.
Shoots the water.
Yeah. He's just like in the distance. Yeah. So they're like, well,
we're going to kill them.
We have several minutes to watch this shockwave approaching us. And I was just like, rude. Like, you know?
That is a weird choice to the, to like, well, to the I hope they dub in one of the guys shooting the laser just going, oops.
I had thought I heard somebody being like, there was some weird edit thing in terms of like, were there multiple locations on Scarif? Were they supposed to have gotten further away and before things were reshot or things like that? I guess there's footage of stuff that's not in the movie anymore in terms of them.
Yeah,
like
a lot of their origin lines, actually.
Yeah. Running along the beach in Scarif with stuff that is
looking
not
carefree.
There.
Can you do the Chariots of Fire theme?
Do.
I want now all the footage of Andor and do our own like ACP cut.
I don't think anybody wants to watch that.
It's only 27 hours long.
But yeah, I think, again, some of the stuff that works well here is, I think that entire space fight, you know, it's not deep or anything, but it's fun. It's well shot. Right. It's fun to see modern.
The when they push the Star Destroyer into the other Star Destroyer and like,
like it's a pretty good spectacle, that last bit. And I enjoy
it. Especially for a fight they lose, right?
Yes.
Because they lose that fight, guys. I guess they get the information out, but a lot of people die.
Yeah. This is why there's nobody left on Yavin to fly against the Death
Star. Honestly, it seems like they should...
Like, except for all the people who show up in the throne room.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Also holograms. No, we also, speaking of cameos, we edited in some extra footage of Red Leader and Gold Leader from unused takes, I think, from A New Hope.
And rewatching this too, I think... when I first saw this, I was very upset about Blue Leader's death. Didn't bother me that much this time. I think I was just...
You've been hardened as a person.
I've been hardened.
That guy needs to die.
I think I was like, well, I had been watching something that Ben Daniels was in, so I was like, this actor's a big deal. Like, you can't just write him off. And I was like, oh no, that's a perfectly fine. They actually, like, he died on screen, unlike Melchi. And I was like, Melchi
dies
off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of rebels die off screen.
Poor guy. But he has a name.
Also, Dan, all those Imperials that are on those two Star Destroyers, why don't we care about them? Well, I mean, because they're bad.
That's a new prequel series coming in next year.
It's Star Destroyer bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It's like The Office, but it's set on a Star Destroyer.
It's a bunch of naval ensigns. And
right, with Kylo Ren as the Nate, the technician.
The janitor, the radar.
Wasn't
Matt.
Matt.
Generic name. Yeah, so it's not a bad movie. I've always been a little skeptical at the heights to which people hold it up as a great movie because
it's still a great
see
movie.
A lot of the
so
scenes.
It's still a good movie.
It's good.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
But Dan is mainly mad that people like it too much and don't. He's like, you should take like that. You should take some of that like off bit. Of Rogue One and put it over here a with Solo.
No, Solo. If Solo a Star Wars didn't movie. Kill their main like female character in the first 5 minutes, maybe I would like it.
They didn't kill their main female character in the first 5 minutes. They killed a female character
who was very good.
Yeah, but even with the characters left over, I bet there's more women speaking lines in that movie than in Rogue One, because Kira is in that entire movie.
That's an interesting hypothesis.
I am 100% sure.
Okay.
Just saying. Yes,
you can both
I agree.
Consult competing.
Tendiwe Newton deserved much better in that yes. movie, but we're not here to litigate that movie. But I like that movie a lot, and I think it's not quite as messy as this movie.
That movie is pretty messy.
It's, it's not as messy as I think it. It the bar is lower. Is my point.
Okay.
Degree of difficulty.
Oh, sorry, the bar is lower.
No. The degree of difficulty is lower. I think they nailed. We're talking about like. When you set out to do something, like when you set out to tell a certain type of story,
yeah.
how well do you achieve that particular goal?
Yeah.
And I find that movie did not necessarily aim as high, but I think it hit its target. Yeah, whereas this movie, I think, is more ambitious, but doesn't quite succeed as well for me.
I think the question is this a foot race or is this a diving competition? Because in diving competitions, you take on the difficulty of the dive into your final score. And I think it's a diving competition, not some like foot race.
I don't know that we're disagreeing.
Well, because
I think you said the same thing I did, just more angrily.
No.
Yeah. Hey, do you want me to up it? All right, you're both wrong. Think of it not as a diving thing, but as some other thing that I don't have an example
darts.
For.
Name a sport. Any sport.
Name a sport. Ultimate Frisbee. So it's like Ultimate Frisbee, which they don't even call Ultimate Frisbee anymore, but I'm old. So it's like Ultimate. I don't have enough energy to
so
maintain this bit.
What I'm trying to say is because they try something more difficult, even if they don't do as well, it should be rated
said.
Higher. It is therefore a better movie.
That's not how that works.
That's how it works in diving.
Okay. It's not
It's
diving.
A better score.
What if it is like ice dancing?
Tell me more.
That's the extent of my knowledge of ice dancing, that it's a thing.
You know it exists. That's
I'm
good.
Just saying, you don't get credit for ambition. You get credit for execution. That's
you
my feeling.
You obviously get credit for ambition.
You'd like
I think... Well, it turns out you're allowed to have different criteria for how you...
Nope, like we're going to be arguing about this for a while.
Yeah, that seems likely, but...
Tony and I agree. This movie's great.
Tony and I agree.
Congratulations, Tony. I was running the clock on how long before you got dragged into this particular
dispute.
I'm so
agreeable.
No, look, Tony likes both... this movie.
I didn't say I don't like the movie.
I heard you hated this movie.
He literally said it's a good movie. Your conflict is that he said it's a good movie and you said it's a great movie. And now we're arguing about sports things.
You're
I just want to be really clear.
Tony, you're so
what?
Bad. You're
no,
so good. You're the reason Dan and I are still married.
That's really troubling. I am not getting paid enough. So I think we can all agree this is a movie that people enjoy and you should not get divorced.
What a great opportunity to segue over to some listener mail.
Oh, do we have? Thank God we have mail.
Let's get back to the bowling.
I got a couple from ATN because he, listener ATN, emailed
Hello,
and
ATN.
Just missed the cutoff for our last episode.
Is the cutoff when we did the episode?
Yes. Okay. He was just, I got his email like literally a couple hours after we recorded. One thing he wrote in on Mastodon, where we are at ACP at Zeppelin.flights, he said, not sure if either of you ever, and I think this was mainly addressed to me and Tony, although ironically, will be more relevant to Kat, is my bet.
The star of the show, Kat Bennett.
Not sure if either of you ever played The Witcher 3.
I have
the
not.
Witcher.
I'm sorry.
I have not either.
The show. Kat has watched the show.
You guys both watched the show.
Has Dan watched
read
the show?
The books. I've watched the entire show, and I've read the Wikipedia
read
synopses
them?
Of the games.
Have you read them in the original Polish? Did you learn Polish to read the books?
Da. Is that Polish?
I don't know. Clearly neither of us knows enough to do this.
All right, there goes our Polish listeners.
I'm so sorry.
I'm
gonna look this Polish up right now.
Okay,
reach
out. This is not relevant to the letter I'm in the middle of reading. You're
but
taking time away
him.
From ATN.
No.
ATN's not Polish. You haven't insulted him.
Cat. Talk.
Thank you. Talk. Continue. Etienne.
Anyways, not sure if either of you played The Witcher 3, but I was today years old when I discovered that Denise Goff voiced Yennefer of Vengerberg in the game.
Who's Denise Goff?
Who's Denise Goff?
Oh, Tedra.
You watched two seasons of that show.
I mean, I'll be honest. I knew that fact, but if I had not known that fact, I would not have known the name of the actor who plays Dedra.
Dan, that's super fun.
I know my brain is weird
Dan,
this way.
Dan, two-thirds of people don't worry about these kind of things.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, I mean, Dan, you're a little worried.
I'm just like every conversation I have with Kat where I try to give directions by street names, and she's like, I don't know the names of any streets.
Yeah, I don't know the names of streets either.
Don't know either.
How do you get anywhere?
It made working for a local transit authority really hard because all we did was talk about streets, and I'm like, will have to pull up a map.
I'm reminded of a Brooklyn Nine-Nine bit where Amy Santiago is like writing stuff down and Rosa is not, and she's like, how do you remember stuff? She's like, I don't. I forget things like a cool person. But Dan, I also don't know the name of streets. I mean, some of that is, I know my way around visually. Yeah. I don't have to describe streets.
No, it's by restaurants. Tell me what was there 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like a normal person.
I strongly considered, I take this iPad, smash it in my head hard enough to break it?
To hurt yourself? That's not good, Dan. That sounds like somebody who knows too many street names. Dan, look, if there's anything else where you would like me to rule in on what is normal and not, I'm happy to help, because this is the one place where I seem to have some sense of authority.
I don't know why that is, other than you just...
I don't know.
The one person who's not in this room.
Yeah. It's a real in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man. Yeah,
anyway,
hashtag Kat was right.
All right, thanks for the segue.
But Lyle go back to Dedra.
Wait, was that relevant? It's relevant. It's relevant.
I have a question. Do we put in Etienne's comment? Yeah, was it just that Dedra voiced? Okay, that's a great comment. Why did you take so long reading it?
Lyle writes, Sagrona, hashtag Kat was right. Sagrona nation team grows Sagrona every day. Thanks for taking us through an incredible season. I would have liked some more K2SO personally, but overall, a very good time. Disco ball droids for everyone.
Thanks, Lyle.
And Michael writes in reference, I believe, to our discussion about Krennic interrogating Dedra at the end. Death Star may be two words. However, Stardust is one. Take from that what you will.
That feels very philosophical.
Indeed.
It's not.
Fair.
You feel like you're like the master arbiter over there.
I don't know. I don't know where I found this secret authority. I think you're both in some kind of weakened state, and I will now proclaim judgment. So,
ATN also wrote a very lengthy email, all of which I am not going to recap because it's very lengthy. But he mentioned, thanks for a great podcast. Your weekly take on Star Wars is a wonderful accompaniment to the show.
It's okay.
He talks about the personal, like the show investigates the personal cost of revolution. And it's sort of, you know, from that level, it's kind of flawless in terms of showing how authoritarianism starts to affect everyday people. He liked the Gorman block and Mon Mothma's escape, the tragedy, like the Greek tragedy era of it. The Gorman anthem he calls out and mentions the soundtrack. I do highly recommend the soundtrack, by the way. We didn't spend that much time talking about it during our season on Andor, but...
Do you like the Rogue One soundtrack, by the way?
I do like the Rogue One soundtrack. It's quite good. Oh. It's Michael Giacchino. My favorite trivia about that is Michael Giacchino was not the original person they hired, I think, to do it. He wrote that score.
Is anybody who worked on Rogue One the original person they hired?
Michael Giacchino wrote that score in like 2 weeks. And it's a pretty good score. It's actually, I think, among my favorite Michael Giacchino scores. But I watched a video with
him.
What
else did he do?
He has done a ton of stuff. He did the Star Trek reboots. He did all the recent Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. He has done a bunch of Pixar movies.
I just like asking you questions and seeing what you have to Google versus what you know from memory. You should be on Jeopardy.
Anyway.
Dan, were you on Jeopardy? How did I miss that?
And I'll add Michael Giacchino. I watched a video with him once where he talked about all his influences and the stuff he wove into this score. Like, there's a bunch of stuff from Dies Irae, which is like a classic Latin anthem and like liturgical thing. And I'm listening to him talk and being like, this guy actually is probably a genius. I don't love all his music, but I think this one is really well done, and there's a lot in there. And he manages to both thread the needle of like feeling like it's a very consistent like Star Wars-y score with being very sparing about how he integrates the John Williams themes in it. Anyway.
Back to listener Etienne.
Yes. He has some comments about Dedra and Cyril and about Dedra getting the tragic ending she deserved.
I think about that scene of her in that cell probably at least once every 3 days right now.
as something where you might end up there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, anything you want to confess to?
No, not yet.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. As your lawyer? Good. Correct.
And then talks about...
I was testing you. It's a common lawyer-client thing that they do.
Cassian,
white hat lawyers.
Cassian and Bix, yes. And that the problem for Bix's character was the endpoint required by Rogue One, so they had very, broadly, only a couple options. She dies or she leaves, and they chose sort of the least bad choice.
Again, it's fine that she left. Just give her a job Yavin. That's all I wanted was her to have
a job. Same thing. He says the same thing. The issue seems to be several scenes need to set up her decision appear to be missing, whether cut or simply never written filmed, and Bix had little to do in Block 3 beyond being on Yavin worrying about Cassian. Yep.
And making
it's
tea.
Also rough that I love the block structure of Andor, but it's like one of her block, one and a half of her block structures is she's on drugs.
Yes.
And then one of her block structures is she's gone.
Yeah.
So she gets one and a half to be.
Yeah. And even that first one is also she gets more trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not.
And conclusion from ATN. Thanks again for the time you set aside for a collective enjoyment of Star Wars. It won't be the same without it. May the Force be with you, and next year in Ahsoka Season 2. P.S. Young Jedi Adventures is great fun for toddlers. Our almost 4-year-old daughter really loves it.
Aw.
Jay wrote in to say, with some more Facebook japery, says the show's over, so this isn't really for the podcast, just sharing with you Star Wars nerds, because it makes me lol that Facebook's algorithm chose to surface this comment of this post as I was scrolling through. It's basically a shot of Bix at the end holding the baby, and then the first comment is the child with a picture of Grogu.
All comes full circle.
There's some timeline issues.
We don't know Cassian is the father. We've just assumed
that's
Cassian.
True.
Yoda was the father.
But Grogu is already 45 by the time of this movie.
Yeah.
He's going through a midlife crisis. Steve wrote in this one is mainly for Kat, but Dan will like it too. I'm catching up on Andor and ACP, and I just listened to episode 101 where you talked about Disney Plus on Apple TV not turning on subtitles automatically when you skip back. That's a very important missing feature for me too, but I found a way to do it on the remote. Hold the Siri button and ask, what did she say? Which I do know is a thing that works too.
Did we talk about that last episode?
I think we did mention but
thank you again. No, it's good to. I will now start doing that, which is great.
Steve says,
Dan let you hold the remote while you're watching
Sagrotima.
Stuff.
What, Tony?
Yes, she always has the remote.
Yes, because I'm always the volume is
it
never
needs to go up and down basically around the whole time.
Action scenes are too loud, and I don't like it that loud, so I will constantly.
So Dan doesn't have the sound system balanced correctly.
I do have it.
See, I feel like I've done stuff to repair, and now I must I'm true
so
neutral. I
Discord.
Must insert some. Yeah, now I must sow some Discord.
And then we have a piece of mail from Curiosity.
Ooh, hello, Curiosity.
Hello, longtime listener, first time caller. Last week, I had a trip to Valencia just days after the end of the second season of Andor.
Well, good for you.
It was not my first trip, but now it felt surreal to visit the locations of the Senate. Here's a photo of me on the bench where Death Star plans were first shared.
Okay, that's awesome.
Feel free to share it elsewhere.
Pretty cool. My God. Let me see that.
Wow.
Absolutely would recommend a visit for any fan of the show. Sincerely yours, Curiosity / she, her. P.S. I did not kill Kat.
Oh, wow. It does look.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
I'm just looking. I had seen a couple photos of things in process. It's if you just Google Valencia, Spain, it does look like a place from Star Wars, which
awesome.
Is always this is a place in our reality that you could go to.
That's
what are we doing here?
Gorgeous. I want to go there.
Nope, yeah. On the list. And then I have one final piece.
We should do an ACP trip.
Yeah, we have the budget for that. Mm. One final bit, which I came up.
Isn't fascism paying for us? I thought, how's that going, Tony?
Oh, they have not. They said they were going to find all kinds of efficiencies and discover money, and it has not worked out.
I'm trying to discover money for a long time has worked out.
Yeah.
Finally, this I thought was really interesting. Over on Blue Sky, where we're at ACP at theincomparable.com, Bose writes in, I watched the second half of the show. Thanks, Blue Sky, for being a terrible app. I watched the second half after the show finished, so I was aware of the spoiler of Bix going in. I double checked what I saw today, and it's true. They framed and edited Bix in the last encounter with Cassian like a show hiding an actress's pregnancy. Hide or cut away from her torso every cut. It's crazy.
And also,
he puts in screenshots of all these things where it's every place that they shoot her, it's out of frame or hidden behind a table or something like that, which is hilarious.
Is that how she's living her whole life in that little cabin with Andor?
She carries a table with her wherever she goes. She has
her purse in front of her all the time.
Yeah.
Carrying potted plants around.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of a fascinating... It sort of speaks to, I think, Tony Gilroy and his team's attention to detail on that thing. Yes. Like, it is kind of a subconscious... like thing that you wouldn't necessarily think of. I think most people would not immediately note that, but like, and then it doesn't pay off in that way, right? Because like usually on a show you're doing that to avoid having to talk about that.
So,
it is clever. That's one of those things that I think you kind of notice the absence of in Rogue One. Is there's so much attention to detail in Andor, and Rogue One, there's a lot of good intentions.
Yeah,
but it's all about degree of difficulty.
The road to Jedi is paved with
good intentions.
I was just comparing because I almost can't believe these numbers. The Rogue One made over $1 billion, which is a big deal.
Made
right?
more money than Solo, right?
Solo made $393 million.
Yeah, Solo killed them. That's why they stopped making movies.
Yeah,
I'm kidding, Dan. I enjoyed Solo.
Money is the only way to measure the success.
I'll be honest. I had thought it had been like a moderate success, and I think it's probably one of those like maybe it didn't make money depending on Hollywood accounting and how all that works.
Well, you need to. It probably made it money, not enough. Yeah, because I gather I'm guessing the budget was what, a couple hundred million probably.
It looks like between 275 and 330 million. Yeah, according
you need to double your money. They want a return.
Yeah.
So they wanted it to make 600 million, and it didn't get anywhere near that. Because it had, basically a similar budget to Rogue One.
So we have not seen a non Skywalker movie then, basically since that, and that movie came out in 20.
Give Clay a movie, you cowards.
Or 18.
2018 for Solo.
2018,
right?
Give Clay a movie, you cowards. It's
not
just
gonna, no,
give
they're
her
not
a
gonna,
movie.
They're absolutely not going to do that.
I so good. She's good.
She's very good. She's very good. I would rather see in a show, anyways, because I think there's more potential to dig into a character and then in a 2-hour movie. Like a 2-hour movie's got to do something very different than a 10-episode series.
You know, I remember Rogue One coming out and like one of my coworkers being like, oh, I'm excited to take my 8-year-old to it. And I was like, I think you might want to like read up on that. And she was like, but it's a Star Wars movie. And I'm just like, I've been following it. I don't think it's for kids. And she's like, that doesn't make any sense. They wouldn't make a Star Wars movie not for kids. And I was like, I encourage you to do your own research. Because, you know, I don't remember. Maybe Rogue One is
PG-13. It's probably PG-13. Yeah.
But it's a pretty hard PG-13.
Yeah, I made a comment on social media a few weeks back that like...
Were you wrong, Dan? Did you say something wrong and have to pay for it?
No, I said people argue about the order in which they want to show their kids Star Wars. I'm just showing him Rogue One and that's it. And I thought that was very funny because my child is 3 and that's not a thing that you do. And everyone chimed in like agreeing that, yeah, well, that's the only correct answer. I was like, no, you've missed the point here.
The real joke is humanity, Dan.
Yeah. I don't think people got the joke part.
Well, at least they didn't try to explain it to you, Dan.
Yes.
No. So. Yeah,
that movie's dark.
Dan, you're gonna let him watch Rogue One without having seen Andor first.
I think he'd be so bored by Andor.
Patience is slow. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I mean there are adults who can barely make it through Andor who theoretically like Star Wars, but don't listen to this podcast. Hopefully,
there is a train occasionally in the background of some of these. That's gonna be the real thing that matters. If there's no train,
he would love
it.
That space train in Solo.
Yeah, no, he would. True. He would. He actually really would like that. But there are guns. We don't want that.
Also just that part.
So, we just played the train heist. That's right.
I think you could find some more train-centric media.
Star Wars train supercut.
Mm. So we're going to talk next Foundation? Or I'm so excited. Season 3 is coming.
That's out of the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beyond our...
Dan doesn't like it when you mention things we're not going to cover on this podcast.
We mentioned enough things that we're going to cover that we haven't got around to covering because I overpromised.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Mistakes were made.
Yes, like we had to watch Tales of the Underworld. That was no.
Guys, I watched that twice.
I know. I don't remember. I think we might have to rewatch it.
I hate everybody.
I think that whole thing is about an hour and a half. It's not like long.
I enjoyed the first one. I did not enjoy the second half.
Spoilers.
There you go. There's the episode.
Yeah. Guys, I rewatched. So here, are we allowed to make fun of people on a podcast? Star Wars Tales of the Underworld, 6-episode animated thing. It's fine. It's disappointing that that's the only Star Wars animated thing you're going to get for a year. It's like being a Doctor Who fan where you only get like a little bit of Doctor Who every 2 years and some of it's garbage. Sorry. Dave Filoni thinks Cad Bane is way more interesting than anyone else in the world thinks Cad Bane is.
He could be interesting, but it's just not.
But he's not.
He's good with Obi-Wan. Like, I love the Obi-Wan Cad Bane. Like, have to work together out of the puzzle. Yeah.
I think I have previously established that I am not interested in origin stories for hats.
I was going to say, Tony,
had you seen that before you made that comment?
No.
Oh, that's great, then, Tony. I was going to say
the perfect way to describe Cad Bane is all hat, no cattle.
Yeah. So
what is that from?
Dan, it's a Western expression or cowboy. Can you modify that for
all hat and no nerfs?
No nerfs
or no tauntaun? Yeah, something.
Well, nerfs are herded, so it feels.
I think Cad Bane and Obi-Wan Kenobi had a very good tense relationship. I kind of shipped those two, and I feel like that's a story I would have rather liked. Those two getting at the heist.
I can think is that Cad Bane, every time I say his name, makes me think of Cadbury and just makes me want chocolate. Mm. Yeah,
Cad Bane,
we all have our crosses to bear.
Blue. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that eventually. But anyway, we were supposed to talk about it. I have now seen it twice in preparation for podcasts that didn't happen, and I'm salty about it.
Because whose it would fault not is that?
Been, I mean, ours.
I think actually yours. It's my. I think it's directly my fault.
Yes, it would be. I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up, but you've now asked the question. I will answer. Cat Banish is the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Cat Banish and Cad Bane are also too close, like kind of phonetically.
Coincidence? Yeah. I think.
Well,
so.
We also learned that Cad Bane is not his. You know, it's his adopted name.
His real name is dumber.
Before we get done, we should wrap here. Otherwise, we're going to talk about this. So we'll have nothing to talk about when we get back together. Yeah.
That's okay. I'll talk about how Cad Bane's not interesting again.
I'll talk about Babylon 5 again.
Oh. Dan's making a face like he's dying inside.
No, I thought about quoting a spaced line, and then I remembered I wasn't going to do it because I have to edit out expletives.
Just bleep yourself. Here, I'll bleep for you.
Nope, not doing this.
Why not?
This is like a trust fall, but auditory. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Bleep!
For listening.
Bleep!
We appreciate. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate your support. As always, you can send us letters. We are at acp@theincomparable.com or on social media, on Mastodon at acp@zeppelin.flights or on Blue Sky at acp.theincomparable.com. Basically, just search for ACP. You'll find us. We appreciate you sending stuff in. We appreciate you being members. Go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up, support our show, get lots of great perks, including member Discord, extra episodes, bootleg episodes, all that jazz. It's a lot of fun. Finally, I'd like to thank my co-hosts, without whom there would be no show. Whoever they are. Anyways, that's the end. No.
And I would like to thank my co-host, Tony Sindelar.
That's right. I was like, what order did I introduce them in? I can't remember. I didn't do it.
Tony, it has been such a pleasure, such a delight. Like, it is a joy to do a podcast with you, Tony.
It's okay. Just remember, everybody, rebellions are built on bleep.
And Dan, love of my life.
Hi.
Fun to podcast with you, too.
Thank you.
Are you going to thank yourself, finally? You should thank yourself.
Cat Banish, thanks for being here. Finally, the show would not be without me.
The star of the show.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll be back soon. But until then, may the Force be with you.
Sigourna!
Sigourna Tima.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.